Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Recently, I've had a very interesting and illuminating conversation with someone who had tried for many years to lose a fairly significant amount of weight. This person was telling me that she had tried Weight Watchers, all of the different meal plans, different fad diets, eat only protein, don't eat any protein, exercise a lot, don't exercise a lot. And there was no amount of external rules or external programs that she tried that could really help her to internalize what it would mean to take in the amount of food that her body needed to be healthy and to survive, and to exercise so that her body was strong. She said she wasn't sure what turned it for her, but all of a sudden, she just wanted to eat healthily. She wanted to exercise and to be strong, because she had a respect and a love for herself that came out in how she was treating her body. I've seen this dynamic happen in my own family and in many families around substance abuse. It doesn't matter how many times somebody on the outside says, you have a drinking problem, you have a whatever problem. Until there is a deep internal desire to change, there's no person on earth, there's nothing outside of us that can help us turn our lives around in such a radical and deep way. When Jeremiah is teaching us this morning that we will know God, that we will be God's people and God will be our God, that God's law will no longer have to be imposed on us, but will be written in our hearts. It is this kind of deep life transformation that God is holding out to each and every one of us. But how do we come to that place where we're not just following external laws or desires that come from outside of us and might even feel like they're being imposed on us, to that deep sense of freedom and love that we know when we accept how deeply beloved we are? Raising teenage daughters is fun. Not this one. The other one is in Maine at a basketball tournament with Miles and Ted. And she has a great fondness for an article of clothing called short shorts, which in my mind are definitely short, but not shorts in the sense of anything that I would allow her to put on her body. And it has been such a fascinating process to try to help her internalize that the kind of desire that gets created in her for that particular article of clothing or a certain pair of shoes or whatever it might be, because that's what all of the kids at school are wearing this year. Phoebe's very fashion conscious. That kind of external coveting, that external desire, will never actually ever be satisfied. There will always be a different kind of shorts. Instead of dark denim, now it's light net denim. You know, instead of it being, you know, raggedy on the bottom, now they have to be cuffed on the bottom. You know, there's all sorts of different ways that all of us, not just teenagers, but that all of us can fall into a sense of seeking things outside of ourselves to try to quiet that hungry, deep place within us. It's very challenging as a parent to try to help her to understand that there is no matter how many pairs of short shorts she has that are exactly the right style and color, they will never be able to satisfy her as she's desiring. These are not things that I can explicitly teach her. For those of you who have children in your lives in any capacity, if you feel like you're talking at a wall at a certain point. So how to help her begin to understand, or help me, that the next pair of shoes is not actually the one that will all of a sudden be like, oh, now I don't need any more shoes in my life. I have all that I need. How do we all crack through those parts of ourselves that seek external validation, that need external rules imposed on us? How do we move into that place that we're internalizing that deep sense of love and that deep sense of wholeness? Last summer when I was beginning to get a course in navigation in Barnstable Harbor, thanks to Roger Bukoff, and I began to understand the treachery of anybody who boats in those waters, the sandbars, the rocks that are submerged most of the time, you can only really see them during low tide, but they're always there and you can always hit them. Where exactly the channel is, how the sands shift because it's such a powerful tide in that area. It was only then that I began to understand what a tremendous gift those navigation charts are that say to us, you know, here is the rock that is mostly submerged most of the time. Here is the sandbar that, even at high tide, depending on the draw of your boat, you should probably avoid. Here is the west bar, where we go out and have mass in the summer. Here is the channel, and if you stay in the channel, you'll be able to have a more pleasant and relaxed and fun time. Beginning to understand that any time that we are given a sense of limits on our actions in any way, that they are an invitation to great freedom, is, I think, one of the ways that we can begin to internalize that we have everything that we need. So, for example, when I'm boating in the harbor, if I just want to go like a bat out of you know where, straight across to Sandy Neck, I'll get in big trouble. There are multiple things that I can hit, and depending on the tide, I'll get stranded on the sand. But if I can surrender to the limitations and the beauty and the joy of the harbor and follow the channel, it's a much more relaxed and gracious time. I remember when I would play outside with my children and dogs when they were young, one of the houses that we were renting didn't have a fence. I was a nervous wreck the whole time I was outside with them, worrying that one of the dogs would see a squirrel and going running into the streets, that you know, I'd be helping Sophie with something and Phoebe would toddle off into the street. When we finally put up a fence and had that boundary, my ability to relax and to simply enjoy this space of land increased exponentially. Sometimes we need those limits on ourselves to help us surrender to whatever the situation is that's around us. Sometimes we need to hear the Ten Commandments: do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not covet, do not lie. Do not create an idol of anything in your life, thinking that that is what will bring you peace. Sometimes having those regular reminders to say, if you go straight for lying, you will hurt yourself and you will hurt other people. If you go straight for coveting, you will be forever hungry. If you stay in this channel that I've marked for you, you'll have a sense of peace and gratitude that is difficult to find in any other way. One of the wonderful things about Lent is we're invited to spend time reflecting on things like rules. How do we follow rules in our life? How many of us like to think, well, they don't exactly apply to me? You know, we all have ways that we try to wiggle out of. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. That's an interesting one. Walk down Hyannis and I see, you know, in Hyannis and I see so many people who are hungry and homeless. Am I loving them as myself? So I'm perfectly comfortable. I have multiple winter coats, am I loving them as I love myself? What are the rules that I selectively apply to myself? And what are the ones that I go barreling straight at, thinking, oh, you know, hitting it won't hurt that much this time? Lent is such a beautiful time for all of us to reflect on where is God trying to lead us into a life of peace and acceptance, even if it looks like there are limitations that have been placed all around us. Perhaps you were born with a predilection for alcoholism. Perhaps you were born to struggle with weight. Perhaps you were born with a quick temper. Perhaps you struggle with greed. We all have those things that challenge us and feel like limitations. If we have the courage to look at them and to accept how much God wants to be in relationship with us, to accept that it is the deep love of God that has sustained us every moment of our lives, we find the capacity then to allow those rules, those laws, those limitations to be agents of transformation and change, and not something that we resist and fight against. As we approach the end of Lent and move toward Holy Week, I invite you to an examination of those places in your lives where you may be resisting some aspect of the law that God has given us. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. What does that look like for you? To love your neighbor as yourself. To treat other people as you would like to be treated. The Ten Commandments that we have reminded ourselves about every week. How do you engage with these gifts from God that are intended to help us find those clear passages? And then one step off of that is, how do you engage in those other areas of your life that might feel like a limitation? It only feels like a limitation to not be allowed to drink if you're an alcoholic until you have a taste of what a sober and whole and complete life can feel like. It only feels like a limitation that you can't eat unlimited quantities of food if you struggle with a food disorder until you have a taste of what it is to feel God's love for you at such a deep level that you don't need to try to fill yourself through your mouth. This is the kind of transformation that God wants for each and every one of us, whatever it looks like in your life. Not a single one of us is free of these kinds of struggles. And I hope in this late Lenten time that you are given the grace to see what are the areas that you struggle with. How might you have resisted God's invitation to allow yourself to be so deeply loved by God? And how can you let that into your heart and soul so that you can know God, know God's love, and let that transformation happen from the inside out? Amen.
Amen. Amen.